Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Whether it's vehicle technology or supply chain disruptions, the aftermarket is shifting fast. Stay competitive at Apex in Las Vegas, November 3rd through 5th. With global sourcing, hands-on training, and networking, the Apex difference is real. Learn more at apexshow.com/podcast.
Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, the EU finally decides on their China EV tariffs. I'll fill you in. Ford Advanced EV team is expanding, and Jaguar Land Rover taps Chery for an EV platform. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you how much money US buyers have saved on EVs from the latest incentives packages. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information for Thursday, 13th of June. I'm Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Patreon supporters get these shows ad-free. Be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. And welcome back to Patreon, Ian Watty Watkins. Was a former executive producer of the show, and now people sign up and they stop, and financial situations change. They support other content creators, other Patreon projects. And I got the email yesterday afternoon that Ian Watty Watkins had rejoined as a Patreon supporter. Thank you, mate. I really appreciate that. And some people stop their support, some people come back. And if you want to be a Patreon supporter, get this show on the air every day. It's how this show is funded. Couldn't do it without the super gang at patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Well, we got the news yesterday that we've been waiting for. The European Union finally decided on their new increased tariffs for Chinese EVs that they import. Now, this is a big story, so I'm going to do a deep dive on Saturday, or call it a Saturday special, if you will, which is the name that I tend to reserve for interviews. But it'll just be myself and talking to you about what it means, the implications for the various car makers, the cars that you might want to buy if you're one of my European listeners, what the UK, what Norway might do, not part of the EU, of course, anymore since Brexit, but whether we'll follow that, it's looking possibly likely. So this Saturday, I'll do a deep dive episode into what it means, the implications, so that you are fully up to speed and as best I can, fully explain a very complex situation. So I'll briefly tell you now that China has responded, you won't be surprised, with sharp criticism of the European Union's decision to raise tariffs on Chinese EVs, calling it a blatant act of protectionism. The European Commission announced that starting in early July, tariffs would be imposed on Chinese car makers, increasing duties from the current 10% to 38%. The decision follows an investigation that concluded that the Chinese EV industry benefits from unfair subsidies, posing a threat to EU battery EV producers. Well, the proposed tariffs will vary by company. BYD will face a 17.4% charge. Geely, owners of Volvo, Polestar, etc., get a 20% increase. SAIC, who make MGs, I still own the MGs at SEV, a 38.1% tariff to import their EVs into the European Union. Well, China said it will consider taking the issue to the World Trade Organization and will take all necessary measures to safeguard the rights and interests of China Unsurprisingly, they said that. Analysts warned that it could spark a trade war, raising prices for consumers, harming exporters and workers, both in Europe and China as well. For BYD, a big competitor to the likes of Tesla, the new European tariffs present a new challenge, but not an insurmountable one. One analyst from Rhodium Group, Gregor Sebastian, said he believes that despite the additional duty of 17.4%, BYD has room to expand in Europe. The low tariff in comparison to others like SAIC, who make MG, the relatively low tariff might even enable BYD to lower its prices to capture more market share. He noted that BYD is already building a factory in Europe, likely to still profitably export to the European Union, even with a 17% duty, only up from 10% before, and can export plug-in hybrids with no additional duties. The new tariffs targeting BEVs, not touching plug-in hybrids. The April report from that analyst highlighted BYD's profits in Europe are 45% higher than the cars they sell back in China, making the European market highly attractive, even with these new tariffs worth one persisting with. Well, Geely is China's fourth largest EV retailer, owner of Volvo, Polestar, etc. As I mentioned, they face a 20% additional duty, the penalty expected to have probably mixed effects on that company. Tesla, which uses Giga Shanghai as a hub for their global exports, including to Europe, by the way, is also navigating a very complex situation. The European Commission saying that Tesla might receive their own custom calculated duty following a request from the company. Tesla indicating on its website already it will raise prices for the Model 3 in Europe from July 1st. Because of tariffs, of course, that is implying, it's suggesting strongly that if you are going to buy a Model 3, do it before the end of the quarter, which Tesla would want you to do anyway as we approach the end of the quarter. They always try and juice sales with incentives. This is another lever that they can pull. The analyst from Rhodium adding the duties exceeding 21% would likely make Tesla's exports from Giga Shanghai to the European Union uncompetitive, such the small margins that Tesla work on. Like I say, full deep dive on Saturday. I'm putting that show together now. It'll be later this evening when the kiddos are in bed. On Thursday night, I will sit down properly, read through all of the analysis, hopefully some of the original literature on this as well, try and get my tiny brain around it and bring you a special episode on Saturday for your weekend. I'll put it into the feed separately. That way, maybe one of my US listeners or whatever, who perhaps might not have as much interest in a full 20-minute podcast about this and the implications, or maybe you are a Tesla fan, you want to know what does it mean for Tesla in Europe and China, indeed. Well, look out for that show coming into your feed this weekend. Moving on. And TechCrunch have done a great article about Ford's secretive, I should say, EV team. And we now know the name given to it internally by Ford. It's called Ford Advanced EV. And if they'd shared that before, then I'd missed it because that's new news to me. Ford Advanced EV is the secretive team that they are putting together to build their low-cost EVs of the future, capitalizing on the recent turmoil, really, I'd say, in the EV industry. Over the past year, Ford has used the opportunity of layoffs at other companies to grow Ford Advanced EV to 300 employees, including significant hires from competitors. Now, TechCrunch, as I mentioned, did a review of LinkedIn data, and it revealed that Ford's new team includes around 50 employees that came from Rivian. 20 have come from Tesla, and a dozen or so from Canoo. Additionally, 10 employees have been recruited from Lucid, a few from Apple's disbanded EV team, the so-called Project Titan team. Ford also brought in suit two senior aerodynamicists from Formula One. Well, this expansion is part of Ford's strategy to reduce the cost of EVs and compete with Tesla and emerging Chinese makers. Ford CEO Jim Farley emphasized the focus on cost and efficiency, saying all of our EV teams are ruthlessly focused on cost and efficiency in our EV products because the ultimate competition is going to be the affordable Tesla and the Chinese OEMs, he's previously said. Well, the team, as I say, I now know it's known as Ford Advanced EV. Well, that's at least the internal name given to that team, according to TechCrunch, has been strengthened recently by Ford's acquisition of the team who worked for Automotive Power, AMP. Bit of a kind of acqui-hire going on here, because they made the acquisition of that business in 2023 and have added over 100 people from that team to Ford's team, enhancing their efforts to develop, like I say, the low-cost electric vehicle platform capable of competing in the mass market. Ford's hiring spree has continued earlier this year, according to TechCrunch, including the addition of senior mechanical design engineers from Tesla's Gigacasting team. This team focusing on creating vehicle underbodies in large pieces to simplify manufacturing. Following Rivian's decision to lay off 10% of their workforce earlier this year in February, Ford jumped on the opportunity to hire the best that they could find from Rivian, who were being let go. Another dozen or so engineers there. And in May, Ford recruited Canoo's former VP of engineering. Most of the new hires come from within the EV industry, with a few exceptions. Some of them even came from the eVTOL, or eVTOL, electric vertical takeoff and landing. Interesting that they're looking at aviation and bringing them into automotive. Startups like Archer, who I've talked about a lot before, I'm really impressed with what Archer are doing, Joby and Supernal. Pop a link to that story in the show notes if you'd like to read more for yourself. Jaguar Land Rover next in the news today, and news coming into EV News Daily about the Jaguar Land Rover strategic partnership they're doing with the Chinese automaker Chery to use Chery's platforms for JLR's future vehicles. This collaboration would see JLR leveraging Chery's two architectures known as M3X and EOX to enhance their EVs. The M3X platform for plug-in hybrids, featuring a petrol-powered combustion engine with two electric motors through a gearbox, a super hybrid system with 11 gear combinations, over 1,000 kilometers of combined range at 621 miles. The EOX platform, developed by Chery and I think co-developed by Huawei as well, for BEVs supporting 800 volt and 400 volt architectures, including some autonomy capabilities as well, and that being good for 5, 6, or 7 seater configurations. Of course, Jaguar Land Rover with their brands would need those larger vehicles. That will enable JLR's goal of expanding their EV lineup, the company indicating a shift in focus towards plug-in hybrids rather than pure electric vehicles. I think initially Jaguar Land Rover were launching 6 fully electric Land Rovers by 2026. That's now down to 4 full EVs with plug-in hybrids as well, which kind of, you know, makes it, if you can get a plug-in hybrid with decent range, I understand why they would want to hang on to combustion at that company a little bit longer. 2 of the upcoming battery electric models are based on JLR's own platform, though. So they're not just outsourcing or doing partnerships to bring in all of their own, to bring in that knowledge. They have got their own MLA platform, which can do combustion, which can do hybrid, which can do BEV. That is the new Range Rover Electric, which I think we get the end of this year, or maybe it's the electric Range Rover Sport we get at the end of this year. Details incoming on that. Right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about Renault, also turning to the Chinese for help. Alpine, talking of Renault, and how US EV buyers have saved over $1 billion this year. Stick around, back in a mo.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
It's time to get real. Automotive is one of the most disrupted industries right now, but you can stay competitive. Here's how. Get yourself and your team to Apex. The aftermarket's largest event returns to Las Vegas with new suppliers and sourcing, thousands of debut products, hands-on training, global innovation, and solutions built for your real-world challenges. Apex, November 3rd through 5th. Learn more at apexshow.com/podcast.
Well, reminder that our Patreon supporters get the shows ad-free. If you heard an ad or two, maybe, on the free version, which is, I would do that personally. I would just hit fast forward. But many people want to support the podcast, support the work that I do here, spreading the word about EVs and our clean green future, and also just get the podcast ad-free. That's why I pay for YouTube Premium, whatever it is, per month, because it just strips the ads out. And that, for me, is worth every penny. You too can go to patreon.com/EVNewsDaily if you want to find out about how I put this show on the air every day. And you can be one of those Patreon legends. Now let's talk Renault, teaming up with a Chinese engineering company, as yet unnamed, to develop their sub-£17,000, or about sub-20,000 euro, whatever that ends up being, Twingo. Now, the Twingo is the city car following what I thought was going to be a collaboration with Volkswagen. Up until now, I thought Renault and VW would co-collaborate on a very, very cheap, or a cheaper, small city car. The two car makers were co-developing, I thought, entry-level EVs, but Volkswagen will independently develop the ID1. We think that's coming 2027. So, Renault wanting a very cheap Twingo to bring to market, have a new partner, a supplier rather than an OEM, which will streamline the development process, reduce costs. The group CEO, Luca De Meo, emphasizing the importance of Chinese partnerships and meeting the timelines that they are, the expedited timelines of building and developing EVs and cost efficiencies as well. He said, and I quote, "Normally we specify big components like air conditioning from big tier one suppliers. We send them a 1,000 page holy book about how a Renault HVAC system should be, and they create a new one. But maybe these things are already there in our other cars, and if they are, we'll use them in the future. We will be able to do a car on a cycle below 24 months." End quote. Well, the retro style Twingo should be unveiled sometime in 2025, probably towards the end of the year, for a 2026 on sale date. Now, talking of Renault, we'll talk Alpine next as well. And they've officially entered the EV market. Today, launching their A290. The A290 is a hot hatch that's all about agility and lightness and performance based on the new Renault 5, retaining the spirit, I would say, of last year's concept that we saw. But a design overhaul to distinguish it from its Renault counterpart. The Alpine version, the A290, is about the same length as the Renault 5, but with a 6-centimetre wider track. That's quite a big deal, actually, giving it a more robust and appealing stance for stylists and performance enthusiasts. Alpine has equipped the A290 with its own suspension, with its own powertrain technology, with their own brake technology, different tyres, different sound systems as well, which they say will deliver the emotion of driving. We hear that all the time from these companies that are building in custom sounds to EVs. I turn them off, but it's good that they're there if you want them. It's more lightweight, 1,479 kilograms. That's 3,260 pounds. It's only about 250 kilograms or 551 pounds heavier than a Renault Clio hybrid. And it's significantly lighter than, for example, a Mini Cooper SE. That served as the benchmark, they say, for Alpine's engineers. Just the motor and the gearbox combined weight, they stripped out 100 kilograms from it. That's 220 pounds. The A290's electric motor will generate 215 horsepower. They're targeting 236 miles of range. That's 380 kilometers. And I'll pop a link to that story from Autocar in the show notes if you'd like to read more. So US buyers have saved over $1 billion so far this year alone. And we're not even halfway through the year. That's a collectively saving over $1 billion. In the upfront costs since January the 1st, thanks to the revamped incentives and the Inflation Reduction Act, the significant saving has enabled the purchase of 150,000 new and used clean EVs, according to the US Treasury Department earlier today. Well, the IRA transformed the federal incentive, the $7,500 incentive, which has been available in various forms for the last 14 years now, did you know? For the first time, it's now a point of sale discount, cash on the hood, if you like, if you want to call it that, rather than a one-time tax credit off next year's bill, or your next tax bill, I should say. This change allows buyers to immediately reduce the purchase price of EVs by passing the credit to the dealership, making the process simpler for buyers and more immediate. The IRA is working, said the US Deputy Secretary of the Treasury Treasury. It's been a game changer for the American consumer. The new incentives include income restrictions for buyers and prioritizes vehicles built in North America, aiming to reduce reliance on China. The full tax credit is still $7,500, but reserved for vehicles that meet stringent requirements. Leasing EVs has become increasingly popular because the requirements for federal incentives are more lenient. And the $1 billion in consumer savings reported by the Treasury Department earlier today don't include leasing, referring specifically to point-of-sale incentives. So that number is actually going to be a lot higher because leasing is very popular for people who want to tap into the IRA. The Biden administration's broader push to promote clean vehicles and onshore parts of the supply chain includes a goal for half of US vehicle sales to be electric by 2030. Right now, hovering just below 10%. The Inflation Reduction Act has also sparked a $90 billion spending spree in new investments in the US EV supply chain. 105 new facilities employing almost 60,000 people, according to Jay Turner, a professor of environmental studies at Wellesley College. Additionally, the bipartisan infrastructure law allocating $7.5 billion for the new EV charging stations through the expansion of those. Now, a couple more stories. We'll do some bit of car finance stuff before we go today. A bit of Polestar news. Now we'll go to China, where Chinese EV giants CATL and BYD are racing to develop the next generation batteries. Some EVs are beginning to adopt 5C charging. That's the charge rate. It really it's an indicator of a the C rate is effectively the it's a multiplier of how fast a battery can charge compared to its size. And the latest 5C batteries are now hitting the market, but CATL is looking to introduce 6C charging in 2024. It'll be known as the second generation of the Kirin battery, initially unveiled 2 years ago. The Kirin battery, known for high energy density and rapid charging, at the minute is a 5C battery, and it'll do maybe a 12-minute charge for 500 kilometres. BYD hasn't released their latest technology in a couple of years, but they're launching their second-generation Blade battery this year, which will support 6C charging. Now, battery makers often highlight this C rate, this peak charging multiplier. Of course, it is all about the charging curve because, okay, so a battery can hit a very fast charge rate for a moment in time, but can it do it consistently? Can it be sustained over a long or short duration? The MPV, the people carrier, the Li Auto Mega, great name for a car, the Mega by Li Auto, was launched earlier this year using CATL's Kirin battery. It's a 5C battery. The Zeekr 001, launched earlier this year, uses CATL's Shenxing battery. That's a 5C battery as well. And we see those cars, like the Zeekr 001, going 10 to 80, because we like the 10 to 80 number. We always like that number. The 10 to 80% number in about 11 and a half minutes, which is deeply impressive charging technology. So, you know, the Chinese continue to push that envelope, and I continue to be amazed by it. Talking of batteries, what about swapping them? That's NIO's thing, right? NIO has opened the first two of their battery swap stations using their fourth gen technology. The new stations are notable for their ability to support multiple brands without requiring modifications. And this is something that I find very interesting in China, where many people say battery swapping wouldn't suit where they live, but battery swapping works in China, for instance. And now NIO are making sure that their latest generation battery swap stations have cross-brand support. So it's becoming more useful than just if you own a NIO. Will that mean it works elsewhere around the world or not? I don't know, but it's interesting to think about. These new generation stations, two of them opened so far today, was their opening day, reducing the time to swap the battery by 22%. They store 23 batteries and they'll do 480 services per day. The new stations are equipped with 6 ultra-wide-angle LiDARs and 4 NVIDIA Orin X chips to provide new computing power to allow the stations to service vehicles from not only multiple brands with different battery sizes, but also autonomous vehicles as well. NIO's chairman, founder and CEO, William Lee, mentioning that the company has over 1,000 of the third-gen stations out there which can be retrofitted to accommodate their new Onvo brand. Additionally, if they do 60 battery swaps a day, they turn into a profit center. And additionally, NIO is also introducing their next-gen liquid-cooled superchargers. So the fixed chargers that NIO have out there as well, these are 640 kilowatt DC fast chargers, also launched today. They'll do about 765 amps of current. So, yeah, that's not bad, is it? Like, if I can find a 150 kilowatt or a, you know, 350 kilowatt charger, I'm thinking I'm quids in here. You go to China, there's 640 kilowatts. Wow. Let's talk Mercedes-Benz next. And if you're one of my UK listeners, Mercedes-Benz offering big, deep discounts on their EQE SUV. I know this won't be for everybody. It's a very premium vehicle. Just to highlight how those deals are out there, always being told there's no, you know, EVs are so expensive. Well, look. They've just given 10 grand off, £9,500 off the EQE SUV, the mid-size luxury SUV. The EQE 350 trim, for instance, costs £856 a month on PCP. You put 10 grand down, Mercedes match that 10 grand, and then there's no interest. It's a 0% PCP deal. Now, look, obviously, £856 and the 10 grand down is a significant amount of money. It's a premium vehicle. It's a premium price tag, but it's a 0% interest deal, and that's not free money. So Mercedes have to finance that as well. At the end of it, you either give your car back or you can pay 38 grand and the car is yours. So those deals are out there. And finally, Polestar. If any of my UK listeners are in Sheffield, Polestar is opening their 8th UK space at the Meadowhall Shopping Centre on Friday this week, tomorrow. The new location is replacing a temporary pop-up store, which previously was at the same destination. It's on the first floor of the shopping centre, and again, you can go in, much like these Polestar spaces have, where they're customers, or you can talk to specialists. It's the way that Polestar tend to do it. You can go in, have the whole experience, very Scandi, very design-led. You can even do on-site test drives as well. You can order your vehicle there and then. That's your podcast for today. Thanks for listening. As always, look out for that deep dive this weekend into what tariffs are doing to the EV industry. And thanks, as always, to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland, and in Hawaii they are Aloha Charge. Derek Riley from Nevo.ie and the Nevo EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. You have to check it out. Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made so simple with one app and one map, and Lease Plan Electric Moments. They provide all the tools and guidance that EV drivers need. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One. Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.